two sisters lived on separate sides of the states. One in NYC and the other LA. They both moved to Chicago and decided to stay. Now here's their playful podcast packed with Kid Lit Parlay. Children's books.
Are they really that great?
Talking children's books is with Kate and Fuse 8.
Children's books.
Why, what, and how?
Fuse 8 and Kate will break it down for you now.
So there was a bit of speculation as to what this week's book would be after my, my hint last week.
What was your hint last week?
My hint last week was that it was a cult classic.
Ah.
And controversial.
A controversial cult classic. That's right.
Has been banned. But people speculated. Author-illustrator Nick Brule of Bad Kitty fame said, intrigued about what next week's controversial cult classic could be, but I'd like to take a guess. Orpheus by Charles Mikulacic. Or maybe it's Mikulacic.
Sure.
Sure. Sure. If I'm right, I'll be able to share what I think is a nice story about his work. Well, Nick, I have to disappoint you. I have never heard of that book, and I did try to put it on hold with my library, and it is not in my consortium. So I would have to interlibrary loan that puppy. But that's okay, because that's not the book that we're doing this week anyway. But before we get started, who are you?
Me, Kate.
Oh, me, Betsy. And this is Fuse 8 and Kate.
Yes.
A podcast.
Uh-huh.
Where we
talk
about
children's
books
and
if
they
are
good
or
bad.
Yay.
That was really good, actually.
Actually, because we say the same thing every week, but I still like to think that we did a really good job with that. We didn't practice it 50 times. We actually didn't. We did that.
No, we're just sisters, and that's how it
exactly. We have
flows.
That sister link.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so do you want to see this book?
No.
Okay, here it comes. King Stork by
Howard Pyle.
Illustrated by
with new pictures by Trina Shart Hyman.
Oh, the new pictures these are. Such newness to these pictures. New.
How new are they? They're so new.
They're so new that they came out in 1973.
Wow.
1973 was a good year.
I mean, I guess in relative terms, that's new. I mean, considering the age of Earth.
Well, yes, the age of Earth. Well done, Dad, darling. Very good. Yes, the universe was created far before that. Also, Howard Pyle died in 1911. So
it's
old story,
new-ish
pictures, new podcasts.
So controversial.
Go read this thing.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
While Kate does her read, let's talk about Trina Shart Hyman. Here's a fun story. I was researching this online, and I was trying to find the background information that I knew was there. And I stumbled on this Huffington Post piece from 2014 that apparently I wrote. I'll link to it in the show notes if you want to see it for yourself. It's called Startling Acts of Mischief in Children's Literature. And this certainly counts. So here's what I wrote in the piece. I begin by talking about the fact that Trina Shart Hyman most notably insulted Virginia Kirkus on the gravestone of one of the graves in Will You Sign Here, John Hancock, by Jean Fritz. She snuck it in partly because she had gotten a bad review for Snow White, a book that was very close to her heart, from Kirkus. And so she put this insult on the tombstone. So when she won the Caldecott for St. George and the Dragon, she, in her speech, well, here, I'll quote directly from my Huff piece. While researching and writing about this macabre tombstone story, we read Hyman's 1985 Caldecott acceptance speech, which opened with spunky comments about the inscription on the tombstone, unquote. But in the same speech, she also mentioned refusing to apologize for, quote, the carving on the witch's table, unquote. I was writing a book called Wild Things, Acts of Mischief in Children's Literature with Peter Ceruta and Jules Danielson. And we read this Caldecott acceptance speech where she says, I'm not apologizing for the tombstone and I'm not apologizing for the witch's table. And we were like, witch's table? What's the witch's table? So I looked at every book that involved Trina Shard Hyman and a witch that I could think of. And there's a book she illustrated called Witch Poems. And I thought, you know, the table's very boring in that book. Very boring. Not interesting to look at all. But my boss, I don't know how she knew this. She was like, oh, yeah, yeah. King Stork. And because I was working at the Central Children's Room near Public Library, we had it on the shelf. She was able to just pull it off and I was able to read it and oh, oh my. Now, Trina, I should quick note, shows up in Caldecott Award speeches on the regular. David Wiesner talked about her in 2002 when he accepted for The Three Little Pigs. More recently, Jason Chin talked about how she was a mentor to him when he accepted for Watercress. And I can't quite remember, but I believe Laura Amy Schlitz may have also mentioned her in her Newbery Award speech because Trina Shard Hyman was supposed to be the illustrator on Good Masters, Sweet Ladies, which would go on to win the Newbery. So, you know, the more you know. You're back.
Oh my gosh, this is so long and frustrating.
It's really long. It's really long. Now I have just one question for you before we begin.
Yes.
Did you find the people having sex?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
How could I not?
I don't know. It took me a while to find them.
You're talking to the girl who looks at details.
I know. And Trina Shard Hyman loved her some details. So
yeah.
Yeah, she did.
Well, and looking at the title page... this lady's got a booty, so I was already in for,
Did you have a booty? Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She wears a see-through dress this
entire
book.
No, she wears a see-through dress that is cut down to here for much of it, yeah.
And this is a very long story, so I'm going to try and kind of whip through this as best I can.
Yeah, they didn't edit it down much, as far as I can tell.
Otherwise, it's going to be an hour-long podcast.
Yeah, I understand. Cut to the chase.
So we meet this drummer who has just came home from the wars. But what war was he in that he is barefoot?
The Revolutionary War, apparently.
Well, and then there's a continuity error.
Oh, oh.
Which you gave me one last week, and I don't want to get stuck on shoes.
Wait,
this week.
Oh,
but
he doesn't have consistent footwear or lack thereof?
Well, I mean, you can see his toes, so he's not
wearing
shoes.
Yeah, no, he's got like fabric wrapped around portions of his feet, but.
Okay, he meets an old man.
Right.
The old man says, hey, can you help me cross this river? The drummer boy man was like, he looks like an angry He-Man.
Yeah, less bulked up, I'd say. But yeah, he definitely has a Prince Adam look to him. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Yes, I do know He-Man's alter ego name. I do. Thank you. Mwah.
Anyway, so the drummer's like, yeah, I'll carry you across the river, and so he does.
It's like a St. Christopher moment.
But it says that he took off his shoes.
But well, he's already for shoes.
But he's already barefoot. Anyway.
He has those, like, fabric thingies. They're not exactly shoes.
And then they finish crossing the water, and the old man turns into a...
Hot man.
like a zaddy.
Yeah, he's totally a zaddy, yes.
And the drummer's not freaked out by this guy who just Benjamin buttoned in front of him about, like, I don't know, 50-ish years?
No, it's all a day's work. Well, the guy was getting heavier, right, as he carried him?
He was.
Yeah, so there you go. That's why. That's logic.
And now the old man has turned into this zaddy.
Zaddy,
who
completely.
Says that a witch put a spell on him and wasn't going to be cured until someone carried him across the water. But why did a witch put a spell on him? He kind of skims over that part.
Well,
he doesn't talk about it.
Well, obviously they had an affair. I mean, and then she got mad at him for something.
We don't know.
That's my logical conclusion on that one. I mean,
how does the stork man, who he calls himself the king of the storks, how does he have shoes?
Much nicer shoes. This
and
guy
the drummer
never gets,
doesn't.
The drummer, I don't think, ever gets good shoes.
Okay.
I don't think even at the end he
okay,
does.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done with the shoes. I just wanted to point out.
He is a king.
He is King Stork.
He gets decent shoes because he's a king.
He says, if ever you need my help, just blow this whistle and I'll help you whenever you want.
All right. Give a little whistle.
All right, cool. So the drummer goes into town and at the bottom of his feet is a dog. What I like to affectionately call playing the cello.
Yeah, that's a, yep. Thank you, Trina. Thank you. That's authentic dog.
It's little details like this that I'm like, heck yeah.
This is why I liked her, man.
Is this dog why it was censored? Is it because of this one dog?
Oh, it is not because of the dog.
Just this one dog. No? Okay.
No. Also, no anus. Thank you.
No. Well, because he's licking it.
Yeah, exactly.
See, the tongue
well,
is in the way.
Is that, yeah.
So the drummer comes across what do you call this? A flyer.
Sure. And he can read, so bonus.
He can. It's saying that there's this princess who would like to get herself a husband and will give you half of the land if you can answer a question, if you can answer it correctly, if you can ask her a question that she can't answer, and if you can catch a bird that she wants.
Okay, well, this sounds very straightforward and short. This should not be a long book at all. We've already established all the things we need to know.
Three things. One,
three
two,
things.
Three.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
You turn the page, and the drummer goes to meet the king, but what gets your attention are the heads. There was a catch I didn't mention.
Oh.
If you couldn't pass her test of three things...
Right.
You will be decapitated.
Right. So they're in various states of decay, which I have never seen in a picture book before.
All by her window. And this is my tattoo.
I want
the heads like as an armband around my upper arm.
Would you have the crows that are picking out their eyes as well?
I mean,
who wouldn't, right? Duh.
It's kind of a guarantee, right?
I mean, kind of package.
It's a great tattoo.
It's a great tattoo. I'm not going to argue with you.
I love decapitated heads. You know, a couple weeks ago when I said I wanted blood and murder?
Yeah.
This is what I wanted.
I gave it to you. Thank you, Trina Shard Hyman.
I just wanted a little blood.
A little decapitation.
This guy is very confident in his ability to pass this test.
This guy just exudes confidence.
He does. And it says, as for chopping off heads, he never bothered his own about that. For, and tell me if this makes sense to you.
Okay.
If one never goes out for fear of rain, one never catches fish.
What's like me ma used to say?
What is rain after
back
catching
in the day?
Fish?
Don't fish come to the surface in rain because it looks like insects hitting the top of the water? I'm literally making this up as I'm going along, but I do feel like I heard that once. Okay.
Okay.
If any of you fishers out there know what he means.
Well, and the king has already pulled out a handkerchief because he's already crying over this man who's going to lose his head.
You're
supposedly.
So handsome.
He just feels so bad that he feels like, well, here's another one that's going to die.
Aren't you the king?
Well, it's interesting that it's not the king's idea to have his daughter, you know, do these tests, but his own daughter's idea.
And he's just going along with it because... He must love the smell of those heads. They are right by him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, late at night, the drummer boy, he blows his whistle. King Stork comes over.
Pa-rum-pa-pa-pum.
And King Stork tells him, oh, by the way, this princess is a wicked enchantress.
Okay. So maybe not the best marriage, but... Have fun with that.
Apparently, drummer boy's like, heck yeah.
That's what I'm into. That's my thing.
And then I was like, oh... Is she like the daughter of the witch that enchanted the stork man in the first place?
But wouldn't that make her the witch the queen?
Right.
Right.
But we never see the queen.
Ooh.
Right? Mm. Okay, so he says, King Stork tells Drummer Boy, put on this hat, you'll go invisible, and if you put your leg over this feather, you're going to be able to fly.
Okay, the first part was 12, the 12 dancing princesses. I have no idea what the second one is.
So, the princess is going to fly. You need to fly after her.
Okay.
And the drummer's like, drummer boy's
I'm
like,
on,
cool,
right,
got it.
Cool, got it. It's all very clear. It's very clear.
So, princess comes out in a see-through dress.
Yes, very much so.
And has these wings on her back. And the drummer boy puts his leg over the feather and puts on the cap, and he flies after her.
Right. Like you do.
They fly to this steel castle in the sky, sort of.
Which is pretty cool.
Well, it's on a mountain.
Yeah.
But it ends up in the sky.
With a lot of toothy things.
It's surrounded by fiery dragons and savage lions, and he gets in where the princess is having dinner with her mother.
Oh, all right.
There it is.
So the mom's a... So the
queen... The queen...
This, the queen...
Queen Mother is a witch who lives on a mountain.
Or are they not married and she just dropped the kid off with the king after a torrid affair? And anyway, I have so many questions.
Well, the drummer boy keeps on eating the food that's on the princess's plate. but she doesn't know because mm-hmm.
yeah,
you know, he's invisible.
But wouldn't you see a turkey leg hanging in the air?
I have to assume he's being really good at...
He's at right just, there.
Well,
he's
maybe,
at the table.
Maybe the food becomes invisible when he touches it.
It does. Well, maybe.
I mean, that's my only theory.
All right. That's how magic works, people.
Right. Yeah. Magic.
But let's talk about the witch's interior design,
indeed.
Shall we? I freaking love it. The
yes.
wall sconces are amazing. The Karma Sutra carvings in the table. I can't believe this book was banned.
So, about the Karma Sutra copulation happening in the table. Apparently, Trina Schardheimen saw... This is an actual table she saw from, like, Poland or something. And I really should know exactly where she saw it. And she thought it was neat, and she decided to replicate it in this book because she was freaking Trina Schardheimen, and she wanted to do whatever she wanted to do. And I love that the art director didn't even notice. Like, how do you miss this? How did anyone at the publisher
because,
not notice
because
this?
They're too distracted by the evil dogs and the evil frog and the weird head at the top of the chair and the wall sconce, which is a hand coming out. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
So, anyway.
Looks
so
like cocktails.
The princess asks the witch, hey, what should I ask the drummer tomorrow? And the witch says, I have this thing on the back of my head that's been bothering me.
Wait, and she didn't even hear what the princess was saying. She was just talking about her own medical problem. She's one of those people.
Yeah, she has a tooth on the back part of her head.
A tooth?
A tooth.
Okay,
so,
that's freaky deaky.
So just, you know, that should be it. What do you just
I mean, the likelihood is small.
Ask the kid, what am I thinking about? And you think about the tooth on the back of your mother's head.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's an easy one because I can't stop thinking about it now.
So the drummer boy, you know, he comes back the next day. She asks this question and he obviously gets it right.
Right.
And the king is so overjoyed.
He did not like killing people.
That he snapped his fingers for joy. Like... He's a beatnik at a poetry session.
He's like, yeah, groovy, man.
Yeah,
groovy,
exactly.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
So princess is pissed. So the next night, you know, she does the same thing. She flies off to see her mother. He puts on the cap to become invisible, jumps on a feather.
Like you do.
And flies off to this mountain. And she tells her mother, look, you know, now tomorrow he's going to ask me a question. What should I do? The mother gives her daughter, supposedly daughter,
sure.
a book with an answer to everything that's happened in the world.
Ah! Oh, man, that's a good book.
Yeah, so he can't say anything and she won't know it. So there you go.
Oh, there you go.
So meanwhile, drummer boy then goes off to King Stork again and he's like, King, hey. What question should I ask? And the king says, just ask her so and so and so and so. I mean,
just gobbledygook.
How do you answer a question that's not even a question?
I mean,
guess?
That's a fair question.
It's a riddle.
That's a riddle, my friend. So wait, it seriously says so and so and so and so.
That's what the text says.
I love that.
But that's only because the next day, you know, the drummer boy goes up to the princess and he says, okay, well, here's my question to you. You know, I had this dream that there was this castle up on, you know, on top of a mountain, and there's a witch with one eye, and there's this beautiful woman who's also a witch that's there with her. Now, princess, who do you think that beautiful woman is? And she's pissed. Because she can't say that was
no,
me.
No, she can't perjure herself.
Exactly. And I love that the thrones are matching kind of what they're thinking. The king's throne is like laughing because he knows that she can't say anything. Her throne has got three people that are just stunned up at the top.
Yeah. So those are good faces.
Great illustrations.
Yeah.
And she's on top of it.
Yeah, she's got this one.
But you turn the page and then the text goes, all the same, there is more to do yet, and many a slip betwixt the cup and the lip. That's the text, people. This is how it's written. Get used to it.
Many a slip betwixt the cup and the lip. That's fun to say, but not quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the last thing is that, okay, well, the princess says, I want you to bring me the one-eyed raven. And so, of course, Drummer Boy can't think for himself. So he goes to the King Stork and
well,
he's
he
like...
Well, he did make up the second question himself.
No.
Like. Oh.
King Stork told him to say so-and-so-and-so-and-so.
Well, come on, you didn't.
didn't say that. He said something else.
No, he said so-and-so.
Oh, I see.
That was the so-and-so.
Gotcha.
Right, so again, Drummer Boy back to King Stork. Hey, how do I catch a one-eyed raven? And King Stork says, look, I'm going to give you this netting that's as thin as like a spider web. Mm. And you're going to put this over the witch's head because the witch will turn into the one-eyed raven. And then you have to wring her neck. And you can't let her go. You have to kill her.
Drummer Boy's like, okie dokie.
So, okay.
I can see no problems with this plan.
Yeah, so they, same thing. Okay, Princess goes out. Drummer Boy follows her. They go to the witch, right?
And then he commits mad.
And then he kills the princess's mom.
That's how you get a girl.
Now, did the King Stork only help from the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Because he knew this kid would be killing the woman who cursed him.
Clearly, this was a long con.
Yeah.
And it paid off
beautifully. So that's what he does. He, after the
kills
witch,
an old lady. Fantabulous.
After the witch turns into the one-eyed raven, he puts the cobwebs over her face. He strangles her to death. And the next morning, you know, the princess is like, so have you brought the one-eyed raven with you? Like, thinking,
obviously, because
I just saw my mother last night. Mm-hmm. He comes in with her dead mom.
Wow.
And she faints, obviously, because she just realized that she has to marry the man that killed her mom.
Yeah.
And also, dude, are you sure you want to marry an enchantress after you just killed her mother?
I think that's where revenge stories come from.
I think
we're going to have a little murdery type situation.
First, we have a wedding. But then King Stork says,
who hasn't gone away,
who as a parting gift, he's like, congratulations, you won her. Because she's an item, so you got her.
Right, exactly.
And now the last thing you have to do is, because she's still a witch, you got to get the witch out of her. So you have to change her. So you have to waterboard her with milk.
Seriously?
It says, pour the milk over the princess when you are alone together, and after that, hold her tight to her and lay on the switch. No matter what happens.
Oh, this is like Tamlin.
So he gets stout hazel switch.
Which we are not getting a visual on this one.
No.
Okay, good.
No, because after he waterboards her and lays on top of her, she turns into a Black Panther.
Uh-huh.
He still is on top of her. So then she turns into a wolf.
Right.
Thinking that will, like, get him off
Should've
of
her. Should have been a porcupine.
That doesn't work. Then she turns into a snake. That doesn't work.
Huh.
So finally, she turns back to herself and says, let me go, and I promise to be good all the days of my life. And he says, very well, that is the tune I like to hear. So he made her submit to him and not be herself for the rest of their marriage.
That's correct.
Yeah, this sounds real healthy. Hate this guy.
Well, I feel like this last image is Trina giving a little hope to this. But I'll, you know, keep going.
Well, the last image is her looking out the window.
But her wings are still there. Like, she's still got this little wing, and she's got this expression on her face. Like, yeah, no, this isn't going to be for forever.
No, I think I hope she's
planning. He's not looking at her, and she looks like, yeah, no, I'm getting out of this one.
I hope she's planning to kill him in his sleep.
Oh, definitely. He is dead. I mean, that is the last we will ever see of him, is that whatever he's eating, she just poisoned it.
So, yeah, this is a long book, and that's the end.
Yeah! So, as I say, this was not a well-known story, particularly when Trina decided to illustrate it. I don't know why she decided to illustrate it. It's a, you know, it's a folktale / fairy tale, but it's so long, and it has that bizarre ending, which is very common in fairy tales, but at the same time, the real draw here is her art more than anything else. And I should say, no one has ever attempted to re-illustrate this story since.
I would be angry if they did.
I would assume they just change it. I mean, people don't care now. In the old days, they're like, well, you can't change a classic folktale. These days, it would say inspired by Howard Pyle. And then it would end with the sorceress eating the drummer.
Sure hope so.
Delicious drummer.
Yep.
Ratings time.
What a horrible ending.
Yeah, it sucks.
I wish he had accepted her as a witch and didn't rely on someone else, like the King Stork, to be as clever as her.
Yeah, this, he does nothing on his own. He gets help the whole way through.
He does not deserve her.
Yeah.
Now, the illustrations are amazing, and they are probably some of my favorite illustrations in all the books that we've done.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, Trina's amazing.
I just really hate this story.
Yeah.
If I could judge the book by its illustrations only, I'd give it a 9. If I judge the book by the story alone, I give it a 2. So I guess the average is 5.5.
Okay, that's excellent. I was just going to say 5 myself. For the exact same reasons. I don't care for the story, though I do think it has some fun... just for the fact that it does have some fun fairy tale tropes in it, some cute ideas that I do kind of like. I like the iron castle in the sky. I like some parts of it. So I'm going to bump myself from a 5 to a 5.25.
Well, with our scores combined, it's just barely over a 5.
All right.
So it's just barely a classic.
It's barely a classic. So folks, when you're in your libraries, check out and see if you have a copy of this. You might have an older collection. It is like nothing you have ever seen. It is quite the thing. Quite the thing.
Yeah.
Letters time.
Ooh.
All right. Gerald wrote in. Hello, Gerald. You've met Gerald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
Gerald Connors. Yeah, Gerald Connors. Yeah. And he wrote... agreed that the name was a letdown. So this was about the fact that the dragon in There's No Such Thing as a Dragon
was named Dragon.
Yeah. And he says, agreed, the name was a letdown, considering especially that Kent had a perfectly good dragon name in King Aru, which was his comic strip. Drexel.
Oh, that's
a good name. That's a great name. Yeah. If it's not too late to share my Aspic story, which right there. Right. So that'd be from Zeralda's Ogre. I spent some part of my early childhood in hotels where I'd be left to my own devices. I usually explored the no kids allowed areas and had a great time sneaking around. One time I made it into a banquet hall where there was a massive spread with all sorts of delectables, including what I thought were cubes of honey-colored jello. I grabbed a couple and ate them, thinking they were lemon or melon flavored, but nope! It was aspic. Couldn't wash that taste out of my mouth for the rest of the day.
Gross.
Yes.
Good to know.
We have other letters, but we're running out of time, so let's do grown-up things we like.
Well, I saw the new Ghostbusters movie, Frozen Empire.
Ah, yes.
Look, critics don't like it because it wasn't made for critics. It was made for fans. And... yeah, sure, there are some holes in the plot, but the New York Public Library plays a pivotal role.
I'm very excited about this.
In this movie, they bring back the old crew, and who doesn't love Paul Rudd?
I thought you were going to say Patton Oswalt, because I would have agreed with that.
Well, he's in that, too.
I see, that's what
but
I'm looking
Paul Rudd is adorable.
Oh, sure. Now, did you like the previous Ghostbusters?
I didn't see the previous one.
Oh, because I heard that one had a way more problems than this one, like the ghost of Harold Ramis and junk in it. So, yeah, this does not have that.
Nope.
So, yeah, there you go.
No, and so you can see this without seeing the previous one. And
marvelous.
You can figure it out.
I think I would rather not see the previous one, so yeah.
Yeah, it had some good laugh-out-loud moments with Paul Rudd, and I love the main character is a book-smart female with flaws. Like, she's relatable, she's fun to watch. I had a grand time. Is it my favorite of the entire franchise? No. But I went in with an open mind, and I came out pleasantly surprised. So if you want something fun to do this weekend, you should check out Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
That is excellent. Well, yeah, obviously Ghostbusters 2 is the best in the entire series. So, yeah.
Nope.
Pretty Viggo!
Nope. Oh,
no?
Nope.
The walking...
Nope.
Moving on. All right, so I discovered something thanks to our brother recently. I enjoy the very, very not... kid-appropriate animated shows Hell of a Boss and Has Been Hotel. Has Been Hotel was just picked up by Amazon Prime. You can watch it there if you want to see it. It's great. But the voice actors are key because it has employed more Broadway voice actors. And someone made a wonderful video about all the different voice actors and what they have done. I will be embedding this in the show notes. But just as two examples, Daphne Rubin Vega, who played Mimi in the original Rent. She was also in the movie version of In the Heights. She's in it. And a huge part of both Has Been Hotel and Hell of a Boss, I had no idea, Alex Brightman.
Oh, yeah.
He was your Beetlejuice. Beloved Beetlejuice
slash
School of Rock. Yes. he is all over this thing. He basically is doing the Beetlejuice voice for one of his characters, and then the other one, he's basically doing the School of Rock voice for that one. But he's great. Once I realized it was him, I was like, ah. But there's a slew of others as well. So, yeah, that's making me happy. And it is definitely a grown-up thing.
All righty.
Cool. Well, I will say that for our next book, it does have murder.
Yay!
Maybe not blood, but there will be
there will be murder.
Let's see. How the person who suggested it told me that it involves crime and murder. So there you go.
Love it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And we are a little bit cheating because technically it was published in Britain 20 years ago. But it was published in America less than 20 years. But since it was published in Britain, we're going to count it.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. And until I fudge the rules some other way, I've been Betsy.
I'm Kate.
Bye. Fuse 8 and Kate is a Fuse Number 8 production. You can reach us at FuseKate8@gmail.com. You can follow our podcast on Twitter at Fuse_Kate. You can follow us on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Fuse8Kate. That's Fuse8Kate. Listen to us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Audible, Amazon Music, or Player FM, or follow us on iTunes and rate our podcast if you're so inclined. Our music is by Haddon Keim, our logo is by Andrea Cerumi, and our own dictatorial kingly personage is Drew Atienza. Fuse 8 and Kate is a creation of Kate Atienza and Betsy Bird.